Lady from Day is an original novel adapted for radio. Lady from Day is written and produced by April Sadowski.
As I spoke to Siegfried after my return from the king and after changing, I noticed that he looked a bit surprised. I could tell because his eyes got wide. Of course, that could be due to my recently lavished appearance. Dashiell is truly privileged to have such a loving father. I was so afraid to talk to him, since he was the king. He knew how I really felt, and I think he knew that I didn't really have a plan.
He knew? I mean, yes, he is king and all, and is supposed to know everything to some sort of extent. Nevertheless, to not care and still entrust you with a mission such as this seems just a little weird. How did he know about it all?
I don't know, but what he said hit the spot. It was spectacular. He said that if I made his daughter believe that she could be cured, then I can find a way. I don't know if there is more he meant to be read into, but he knew what I needed to hear. That, and when I asked if he wanted to know what my plans were, he said that it wasn't important, because he knew I could help her anyway. You know, this place isn't what I expected it to be. With a kingdom of starving people, they don't seem very angry. They are just sad. They are very kind, too. The princess and the king most of all.
To be perfectly honest, I really haven't met either of them, save for that brief presentation at dinner time. They seem... what's the word? Reserved. Very reserved. Isn't there a prince, too? Where's the queen?
Sig liked to ask questions ever since he was old enough to talk. Now, he seemed to enjoy again bombarding me with them. I decided there was no use in keeping anything from him, because I knew he would keep nagging for the answer, so I gave in. Yes, there is a prince, and he's in Kairi, being a good negotiator. King Birchall sent him off there. His name is Rowan, I think. I don't know much about the queen, but I think she died. She obviously isn't here in the castle, and I haven't heard anyone talk about her. If you're so curious, Sig, why don't you ask the princess yourself?
Lee, that's a great idea. I think I'll do that. Besides, I don't believe you saying the princess is nice. No princess is nice. They're all stuck up. Well, at least the ones that I haven't met yet.
At my suggestion, Siegfried left to go find the princess. I can't believe he didn't ask where the princess's room was. About 10 minutes later, he came back to my room.
Lee, where is her room? I think I've looked just about everywhere for it. Well, all except the dungeons, of course, but what king would leave his daughter there?
Siegfried, you silly goose, why didn't you ask me before you left?
Because I was too excited to ask.
Excited to meet a stuck-up princess, huh? Oh dear, well it's up the stairs and it's the third door on the right. And Sig, please, for heaven's sake, knock.
Yes, m'lady! Oh, and I want some clothes like that too.
Yes, better this than that elegant dress I was given. Go run off now or you will never meet her. He nodded and left. I was left alone to consider the next course of action for my party and myself. That night I returned to the Great Hall for the evening meal. After I sat down, Siegfried started to ramble on about his meeting with the princess. Apparently, everything began on her 5th birthday. An aging fairy came by and she blessed her, while Dashiell called it cursed, and she said that the girl was to eat and never gain an ounce. Unfortunately, it wasn't until after the fairy left, and unfortunately died on the way back to her home, a passing dragon thought she was a dragonfly and ate her out of the air, that Dashiell noticed a change. When she came down for supper that night, she was starving. Her father was quite pleased, because before this the princess would only eat enough portions for a mouse. She couldn't stop eating, though. After the desserts were finished, her stomach still growled. Dashiell didn't know what was wrong with herself. When she told her father, the king, that she was still hungry, they kept giving her more and more food. The hunger pains went away for that night. When the princess awoke the next morning, she was starving again. The same happened as before. She kept eating and eating, but was never full. Then, once her growling stopped, the princess had an hour of peace until it happened again. Then, after she finished eating, the girl had to relieve herself. She cried so much, and since she was so young, she didn't know how to deal with all that was happening to her. Dashiell's mother, Daylat, felt so sorry for her daughter. Pleas were made out for all the leading mages to come to the castle and try to help the girl. Unfortunately, no help was made. The questioning mages befriended Dashiell and tried to assist her and find a reverse spell. In the end, they all left hungry. 5 years ago, Queen Daylat gave up on the mages. She decided to go by herself and find the cure for her daughter. She hasn't returned since. Last year, Burchell proclaimed her death to give finality to himself and his people. The strange thing is, there was no body. Dashiell still thinks she's alive, as well as her brother. Her father doesn't think so. Well, now that I think of it, he might. I think perhaps he just doesn't want to put any more blind hopes or thought of her being alive, because if they ever did find a body, he would be heartbroken. He might have looked for her if he didn't have matters of state to attend to, and the fact that he couldn't send out anyone, because who would go searching with rations of just mushrooms? Her mother just never returned?
Well, exactly. She hasn't been seen since she left. Dashiell misses her mother terribly. It's so evident. No one is there for her, and she just wells all of that sadness inside herself. It's no wonder that she shuts herself up in that room of hers, except for meals that she's expected to attend. I don't blame her. You can excuse her father for not being there for her. I mean, he is king and all. The poor girl needs a real friend that she can turn to. Well, of course, the friend can't really relate to her condition, but it would help Dashiell just to talk to someone. She isn't a snot either. I kind of like her.
I wonder where her mother is. She couldn't have just vanished. No one does that. Well, all for the mages, of course, but she's not a mage. I think she's still alive. They haven't found her body or anything, and no country has asked for a ransom. Though I'm not sure the Gorlags would be trusted to even get that far. If she died in their care, I doubt they would even give her a decent burial. I think we should try to find her. It would be good as a challenge for us, and can you image the status we would have? We'd be famous.
Well, of course, I want to find her too, and I think we, the men and I, along with you, can all bring her back to the king.
Well, we can't stay here forever, then. We must depart and try to find the cure, and her mother, if we can. Who says we can't do both at the same time?
Yeah, you're right. Where are we going first? I mean, what country? Or are we just gonna be, staying in Faerus, searching?
We are just going out. Siegfried and I left the castle. We decided to go east to the swamp of Sandring. Not only is it dank and smells of... Well, I don't know what it smells of because I'm not there yet, but I know from tales that it smells terrible, and worse. It also is filled with quicksand bogs. The bogs aren't what I worry about. I told our group to spread out so that if someone went down, there would be a person nearby to help. What I worry about is what is after I pass the swamp. I must go to the land of the Gorlags, the barren but not unfertile domain called Kragash. I am not looking forward to going there. I am hoping I can find someone that knows how to reverse spells, or else something to nullify the one placed on her. I would have thought that the mages would have searched for the answer, instead of relying on themselves to help. Perhaps that is the reason why they were unsuccessful. I, however, dare to be different. Maybe the last expected place is the only one worth going to at all. We continued forward, entering the eastern edge of Sandring. The putrid odors filled our nostrils as if we smelled the musty stench of decaying corpses instead of quicksand bogs. Suddenly, I heard a scream.
Help! It's sucking me in!
Usually, Reynold was soft-spoken. But now his voice was not so soft. He had got both feet in a bog pit and was slowly sinking. He wasn't squirming because he had been trained not to, but we could all hear the fear and tension in his voice. Eros, help him! Lend him your bow! We all carried bows and staves in case this happened. Longbows were used in self-defense, of course, but they were useful in these swamps.
Here, Reynold, grab this. Be careful not to move too much.
Thanks, Eros.
Luckily, to my strategic thinking, Reynold was saved by Eros. I couldn't help but laugh because he was covered in reeking sand. Sand was very grainy and mixed with the slimy water of the swamp. He looked like he'd been coughed on by the mother of all dragons. As soon as I started to laugh, I began to sink myself. My boots were filling with the quicksand. I knew I'd hit a bog. This is what I get for laughing at someone's despair, I thought to myself. The putrid air filled my nostrils as I called out for help. Someone help me! Apparently my screams weren't loud enough, for everyone was over with Reynold trying to clean him up. The sand was up to my waist now. I couldn't struggle or I'd go down faster. Therefore, I screamed at the top of my lungs as carefully as possible. I tried to not move as I called out. Get over here!
By all things holy!
Siegfried forgot about the bogs being almost everywhere, and so he himself was dragged down.
Help Leah!
The sand was up to my neck now. Reynold heard him and carefully proceeded to my aid. I knew if I said anything I would be pulled down farther. My arms were both stuck in the horrible slimy mass. He reached for the only thing available.
Ow!
This was the most excruciating pain I'd experienced in my life so far, for the sand-soaked Reynold had gripped my long hair with his gritty, muddy, sand-covered hands, and pulled with all of his might until my arms were free of the bog. I was able to use my arms to bend over to grab a stick and use that as leverage while pushing my body up and forward. Now the person who I had recently been laughing at was my savior. Never more will I do such a thing. Sig was taken care of by the others as I was being lifted out of the bog. Once I was free from the gritty sand, Reynold and I walked over to Siegfried. I think we are going to need a bath after all of this is done with.
Yes, but maybe we can scare off the Gorlais looking like this, you know?
Luckily, I'd worn my old clothes and had the others the king gave me packed in a bag that another party member had offered to carry. I didn't want to wear them for anything that didn't reflect their royal qualities. To me, the fabric was just too good and the work too well done to be worn on a trip such as this, and especially not going through the swamp of Sandring.
You know, you should really watch where you're going, Leah.
Speak for yourself, Slimeball. We better keep going. We need to get through here before dark so we can make camp, and not fear of getting sucked into the ground.
Oh, right. Good idea.
You know, I was half tempted to cut off some of my hair when we were at the castle. When I looked in the mirror after I got dressed, I saw how long it was. It's good I didn't, or I might not be here right now.
Well, it's good for all of us that you didn't, I guess, but wait a second. How did your head feel? Reynold tried to get you up enough to grab the rest of you, but I can't imagine how much that would hurt.
Well, it doesn't feel too good. Thanks, though, for getting Reynold's attention. You know, I should probably be thanking you more than my hair. If you didn't call out, well, just thanks. Let's get a move on, then. We carefully completed the trek through the bogs, though a couple more party members got caught and had to be rescued. For the most part, we were on all toes with adrenaline and not wanting to be covered in grainy mud. After we left Sandring, we decided to make camp directly outside the swamp. It wasn't very comfortable, as we were getting used to the plush accommodations of Faerûs Castle. We managed to settle down, however, and I fell asleep to the sound of a dozen snoring individuals.
For other casts and credits, please visit www.ladyfromday.com. That's www.ladyfromday.com. Join us next time for the continuing story of Lady from Day.